This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Well, you guys came back. Thanks for coming back. Somebody said to me this morning, homework again? Well, yeah, I suppose. You know I like that. So last week, I looked up when I got up here, looked up and looked back at the booth, and there's no countdown clock. I was like, yeah, nice. I'm going to keep these people all day. Just let the second service roll on in. And there's seats. They can find seats. The lights are on. They won't trip and fall. So this week I have my phone. We'll see how well that does. I am not Hal Hester. Hal Hester, our pastor, our leader, is on an extended vacation for a few weeks. He and his wife taking some time off. And so I am back 2 weeks in a row. And so what I'd like to do before we do anything is I'd like to pray for Hal and Dawn in their time away, their time off. So if you would bow with me, that would be fantastic. Heavenly Father, first of all, we just say thank you for allowing Hal to be our shepherd, our leader. Lord, we do not take that lightly. We understand the role that he plays. It's huge. It's massive. And so, Lord, we just thank you for him. Thank you for Dawn as well, as she walks this journey with him. And Lord, we just speak your wisdom, your insight, your blessing, your favor over him, over her, over their family. But especially during this time, Lord, where they're taking a few weeks off and just regathering, regrouping, we pray that you would just strengthen them, give them rest, so that when he comes back, when they come back in the next couple weeks, they would be prepared and ready to go into the fall and remainder of this year. We speak that over them in your name. Amen. Amen. Did you note again that came up there that we are on August 6th, we are moving to one service? They are working tirelessly to finish all of this stuff and the rebuild and all that. And so August 6th, we'll be going to one service. That'll be at 10 o'clock. Please don't show up at 9. Please don't show up at 11 and go, oh man, I've already missed an hour. No, you wouldn't say that, of course not. That's terrible. Terrible of me. That's the big one. Just make sure you remember that and have that on your calendar. I would like to acknowledge my wife, Natalie, this morning. It is our 29th anniversary. So, Natalie, happy anniversary. Also celebrating anniversary today, joining us are David and Kathy Siskoyas. So you go ahead and give them a round of applause. They've been at it way, way, way longer than Natalie and I have been at it. I'll tell you that. Way, well, not Kathy necessarily, but Dave, way longer. No, but we've known the Siskoyases for years and years and years and years, and we have the uniqueness of sharing this anniversary. Before I do a very quick review from last week, I would like to pray again. Please understand, I said this last week, I like being in front of people. I enjoy, this kind of thing. I've always enjoyed public speaking and all that kind of stuff. But it is not lost on me for one second that I am supposed to stand up here in front of you and speak for the creator of the universe. That's huge. And I sit down in that seat even during worship and I'm just like, oh my gosh, Lord, what am I doing? Why do I even presume for one second that I can do this? But it's not about me, so it's about him. And so this message, the continuing and finishing of John 8 today, is not about me putting on a show or speaking really good or you saying, man, these notes were fantastic. It's about the creator of the universe, the word of God impacting your life. And remember last week it said when Jesus spoke these things, when he spoke them, his words, and many believed. That's my hope, is that when the word of God is spoken, when the words of Jesus is spoken today, it affects you, it transforms you, it revitalizes you. Heavenly Father, please, as I'm sure you already have, but please continue to prepare and soften our hearts for this message today. These are your words, Jesus. Again, there are no miracles. There's no walking on water. There's no feeding thousands, raising dead, casting out demons. The things that would ooh and awe us, these are simply your words, simply your teaching. And it greatly impacted these people, unfortunately, in a wrong and bad direction, as we're going to see right at the end of the chapter. But these words, the truth of these words, can free us and bring us life if we choose to, by faith, believe what you have spoken and follow through on it. And I pray that's what would happen. In your name I pray. Amen. Last week, very quickly, it was John 8, 12 through verse 30, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and if you follow me, if you walk with me, if you choose to, then you will no longer walk in darkness. You will no longer be pushed around and prodded by the darkness and manhandled by the darkness. You have that ability in me to do that. And so there were four things that we talked about right at the end, the L-I-F-E, that this... We don't have Jesus in our midst today speaking these things. The Word of God actually made flesh and walking among us. But we have the Word, his teachings, the Word of God, this love letter, and we need to be in this. If you are not regularly in the Word of God, I am encouraging you, I'm begging you to be regularly in the Word of God. It is what will transform you. If you say, oh, you know, well, I don't know, it's been 3 or 4 days, it's been a week or two, but I can't even remember the last time I actually picked up my Bible, please dive into the Word of God. It is life, it is light, and as we believe it, we trust it, and we apply it into our lives, it transforms who we are. What it does is then it invalidates I. It gets rid of the me. This is not all about me. This is about Christ. It's about the God of the universe and his plan and his kingdom and us seeking him and seeking what he wants, what is best for his kingdom, the advancing of his kingdom, which then led to the F, which is then as we crucify ourselves with Christ, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Then the F was, then we become faithful. We grow in our faith. We're forever faithful. Without faith, we don't please the Lord God Almighty. We have to trust him and believe in him. And that's not just a mind over matter. I'm just going to try really hard to believe today more than ever. It doesn't really work. It might work for a moment, maybe a little bit, but ultimately it doesn't work. Mind over matter is real. It's valid. We can choose, you know, those types of things. But this is a supernatural idea. This is a supernatural thought process. We are spirit, and God's spirit interacts with our spirit and rejuvenates us and rebuilds us and restores us and redeems us and rescues us and all the cool R words and transforms us into the image of his son. That transformation then helps us to be faithful. Jesus said, I am always doing what pleases my Father. That's a little overwhelming, to be honest. But we can be transformed in closer and closer and closer to that, which then led to the E-L-I-F-E, ever evaluating. Every moment of every day with every person in every situation, are we willing to say, Father God, what do you want of me? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to speak to this person? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to walk away? Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to embrace? What do you need me to do? Because this is not about me. This is about your kingdom. And so I'm constantly evaluating. I am going to side with you, Heavenly Father. So what do you want me? I know there's these overarching principles, you know, love everybody. Well, what does that mean? What does that even look like? for this person and that person and this situation and that situation, because he's going to shape and mold and guide you. He's going to shape and mold and guide you in that, and so we are ever evaluating. So this morning we pick up with this idea, with this thought process that he, not only is he the light of the world, but there is truth in this. And so we take the lies of the enemy and we fight them with the truth of the Word of God. Everything that the enemy whispers to us, everything that we encounter in this dark world is lies. And so we take the truth because we're in the Word. We take that truth and we fight the lie with that truth. This is the truth that I'm going to stand on. This is the truth that I'm going to know. This is the truth that I'm going to experience because I'm embracing Jesus. I'm experiencing Him. I'm practicing this stuff because I believe it to be true. Tomorrow I'm going to believe it to be even more true. It's not that it is more true. I'm growing, though, and that's what sets me free. Free to be who God created me to be. Free to advance His kingdom. Free from the lies of the enemy. Free from fear. All those things that I find myself at times mired in. Anger, frustration, self-pity, whatever they may be. John chapter 8. Up on the screen is the New Living Translation. This is what I will be reading from. You open your own Bibles, look them up in your own phone. That's fantastic. If you want to just read along with me, they are up on the screen behind me. We are reading John chapter 8, 31 through 59. And Jesus said to the people who believed in Him. So you back up just one verse, in verse number 30, it says, many heard Him and believed in Him. So now He's talking to them. Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, you are truly My disciples if you remain faithful to My teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're descendants of Abraham, they said. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean, you shall be set free? Well, Jesus replied, I tell you this truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son, now notice the contrast there from 35 to 36, a son, lowercase s, is a part of the family. So if the son, capital S, that's Jesus Himself speaking, He is the Son of God. So if the son sets you free, then you are truly free. Woo! Man, that'd be a whole message right there. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me. Because there's no room in your hearts for My message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with My father, but you are following the advice of your father. Our father, they declared, is Abraham. No, Jesus said, for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you are trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father. They replied, we are not illegitimate children. God is our true father. Verse 42, and Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Whew, there's a whole nother message right there, huh? Because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of any sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why do you not believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. Oh, that really fired him up. Verse 48, you Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon? No, Jesus said, I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father, but you dishonor me. And though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. He is the true judge. I tell you the truth. Anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Then the people said, now we know you're possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets, they all died. But you say, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? And Jesus said to them, if I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father who will glorify me. You say, he is our God. But you don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you. But I do know him, and I obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. The people said, what? You are not even 50 years old. How can you say that you've seen Abraham? And Jesus answered them and said, I tell you this truth. Before Abraham even was born, I am. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from their midst and left the temple. Whoo! There is a ton of stuff going on in this passage. A ton of stuff. The key verses, as you'll see at the top. First of all, did everybody get these? I didn't ask. Did everybody get your notes? Anybody need notes? We've got a dashingly good-looking gentleman there in the back who's walking. No, that means you, Billy. Billy turned around and was like, who? Where? What? Huh? Keep your hands up. Here are the notes. Here's a couple up here in this front corner and a couple in the back. So... The key verses are verses 32 and 51. 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And verse 51, and he says, I tell you this truth, that anyone who obeys my teachings, and why it's not natural to obey. I hope that doesn't surprise anybody. It's not natural to obey. But as we're believing this truth, as we're trusting in this truth, as it's growing our faith, then in trust and in belief, we are stepping out in obedience. Let me very quickly give you an example of what I'm talking about. In obedience, it says that we are to forgive and to love our enemies. Woof. I don't want to do that. I mean, it sounds nice, and wouldn't the world be a better place? But do you know what that person did to me? Do you know what that person did to my family? Love them? Pray for them? Pray blessings over them? If I have the opportunity, be good to them? And Jesus says, yeah, that's actually one of my teachings. Yeah, well, I don't want to do that. I you know what? I don't even want to pay any attention to them. I'll just ignore them. You know, then I'm not really doing anything bad. I'm not going to pray for them. I'm not going to love on them. No. Because ultimately what I would really want to do is I really want to punch them. I want to get back at them. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they did to my family? And so here it is not, we're understanding, it's not natural to obey. But he says this in this verse. He says, but you will know, please, it doesn't say, right? The truth sets you free. What does it say? The truth that you know, that's what sets you free. This knowing is a believing, it's a trusting, it's a practicing out, it's an experiencing these things, which is why then verse 51 is the other key verse, because he says, anyone who obeys, that means you're experiencing, you're doing these things, you're trusting me, they will never die. They will, and what is the series that we're in? They will have eternal life. Life in the moment? Yes, I think eternal life starts right now. And life everlasting. So we run down through these verses with these two being our theme verses. Verse 32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And verse 51, then out of this knowing, then you will do something that is not natural to humans. You will obey. You will walk this out. You will experience these things. You will do these things. And you will not die because you're following the light. You're walking in the light. Verse 31, it says that Jesus is speaking to these people who believe in him. So we backed up really quickly there at the beginning. We looked at verse number 30. Then when he had said, this was last week, he'd said these things, he spoke these things, and there were many who believed him. And so then verse 31, then he starts speaking to those people. And it's really interesting, isn't it? Isn't it? They believe in him, but they're already questioning him. Who do you think you are? You know, Abraham, and you know, who's your dad, and blah, 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 all these things. And we're like, well, it doesn't really seem like they believe very well. Because here's the key. Appearance of belief, just saying that you believe, must be accompanied by a perseverance and following of the truth, following of the word, following of the teachings. That's what shows that I really believe. Doesn't mean I get it right every time. Certainly I do not. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Now I've made this decision. I'm standing on this and I'm following in the light. And so here we go. And I make mistakes. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. We lean into our selfishness for sure. But there is this perseverance, though, of continuing to follow in the teachings of Christ. Because I believe it. I'm trusting. He's raising this up in me. My spirit is interacting with his spirit. It's growing. I'm being transformed into his image. Is some of it mind over matter? I'm choosing, I'm gonna, sure. But man, if that's all it is, I'm just gonna try really hard. I'm gonna pull myself up by the bootstraps. I'm gonna make this work this time. It's probably not gonna work. This is a supernatural, divine intervention, divine revelation into our lives that then we cooperate with. We're experiencing. I know this to be true. This is the truth that I know, and that's what sets me free. Not just this random, the truth is out there somewhere. Didn't he say, you're going to search for me? This was last week. You're going to search for me. Everybody's searching. But guess what most people are going to do? They're going to die in their sin because they're unwilling. Because they're unwilling to agree with what he is saying. I am who I am. I am God. I'm not just another teacher along the way and let's do these good things. Everything, ladies and gentlemen, everything rises and falls on the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot separate that. We cannot. Well, I'm going to follow this religious whatever. You go follow that religious whatever. And you go, you're doing great too. And, you know, we'll just, when we get all to the end, we'll just get up to the top of the mountain and we'll all be good and we'll all backslap each other and we'll all be happy in nirvana or wherever we're going. And it doesn't work like that. The claims that this man made are either absolutely authentic and true, the truth that you know will set you free, or they are a lie, and there is the contrast. Where he says in those verses, and we'll get to this 47, or 42, 43 and on, where he says, man, it is the enemy, it is Satan who lies. That's all he can do, is lie. And so we take the truth that we know, the truth that we believe, and we fight those lies. and God empowers us. And we join arms with other believers. And we pray together and we read the scriptures together and we walk this out together and we do life together. So he says, speaking to these people who are at least mildly believing, coming out of verse number 30 and down in, if you are my true disciples, if you truly are, then you will remain faithful. So there's this idea of faith, of entrusting ourselves to Him. There is this following of Him. We're abiding with Him. There is obedience. You're going to follow my teachings. There is more abiding. There's this practicing, putting into practice. Again, though it's not the abiding and the practicing of these things that save us and free us. We're free to do them. This is our being at the core of our being. I know that this is true. My soul, my spirit attaches with the Spirit of God. This is my being, and so then I'm free to do these things. It's not the doing that saves me. It's not the doing that frees me. I'm free to do these things. I'm free to not punch that person. I am free to not flip that person off. I am free to not get honked at by the car behind me and put my car into park and get out of my car to go confront that person. What am I doing? And the whole time the Spirit of God is saying, that's not freedom. That is not freedom. You are not walking in freedom. And I'm like, oh, I know I'm not walking in freedom. Do you see where he's going? It is a depth of revelation, divine revelation, as I'm getting into His Word, as I'm believing and I'm trusting. And listen, I know this. You're like, Jason, you know, I just don't know if I can get that spiritual though. Then try this. Somebody over here, I won't point at Fawn directly, last week was like, oh, when I was going to shoot my neighbor's dog. So if any of you have that kind of feeling again this week, I'm sorry. You just have to go with it, okay? But I firmly believe that if I read that verse in the Bible, love your enemy and pray for them, and you're like, oh, God, I don't want to love them and pray for them. I want to punch them. God doesn't cross His arm and go, well, you don't get it, do you? We got a lot of work with this one. I don't think He does that at all. I think He is completely able to take crud like that from me and go, all right, well, then let's get to work. At least you admitted it. At least you admitted you wanted to punch the guy. Let's work on that. Let's see what we got. Maybe there's a couple of you out there like, oh my goodness, I would never talk to God like that. Well, then I probably make up for you because I talk to God like that a lot. I tell God exactly what I don't want to do. I'm very clear. Not because it surprises Him all, because He already knows. It just helps me be real. Be real before God. And then let Him say, all right, well then what are we going to do about it, Jason? What do you really believe? What do you really trust to be the truth then? Do you really believe me? Do you really grab a hold of this stuff? Are you going to get rid of yourself and your ego and all of your own wants and your own demands? Let's talk about this. So there's a depth of revelation, divine revelation, that begins to happen in the depths and the core of who we are. I, in my humanity, it's not natural to obey. I don't want to obey, but I am becoming a supernatural being. My natural, combined with His super, is becoming the supernatural, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These believers, us as believers, then verse 32, will know, we will experience the truth. embracing Jesus, which is what I talked about last week. And then that truth, the truth then that we know, sets us free. Jesus said this to the Father. He said, Father, I want you to sanctify them. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word, Father, is the truth. It's the light of the truth that dispels the darkness. It's in the darkness that these strongholds take hold of us and keep hold of us. It is in this sin that is the bondage. This is the power that engulfs us. This is the power that keeps us locked in where we shouldn't be, our being. And it is this bondage then that is willed against our souls, to the death of our souls. And we don't see how fearful it is. We're not overwhelmed by the evil and the wickedness of the enemy and his desire to destroy us. But when that truth that we know, when it pierces us, there comes into us a power, Jesus, the power of Jesus, the power of the Spirit of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There comes a power then that rouses us out of our stupor and strengthens us to break off these chains. But man, if you are not in your word, if you are not on your knees, if you're not experiencing this truth and chasing this truth and saying, I believe this to be the truth, I really just want to knock that guy out. But that's not right, Father. Can I at least just yell at him? I won't punch him, I'll just poke him in the eye. Would that be okay? No, Jason. I want you to love that person. I want you to pray for them. Okay. Well, I got a couple prayers, Lord. There's a bridge that he drives over every day. If you would cascade him off that bridge, that'd be fantastic. What is wrong with me? Pray for him. Pray blessings over him. Pray blessings over her. If you have the opportunity to do good for them, then do it. Heap coals upon them of goodness. The truth that you know sets you free to do these things. That in our humanness, in our selfishness, in our self-pity, in our self-loathing, and our egos, and I demand my own way, it doesn't exist. It's not natural. But isn't our answer like the answer that they have in verse 33? What? What they say in verse 33? What? We've never been slaves. What are you talking about? Oh, that's ridiculous, Jesus. What are you talking about? They've never been slaves. In the moment, they are slaves to Rome. In the very moment that these people are living, they are under the bondage of Rome. Do they not know their own history, that for 400 years they were slaves in Egypt? And they say, we've never been slaves to anyone. But is that not how the lies of the enemy and this junk that we tell ourselves, isn't that, well, I'm not a slave to anyone. I have the right to tell that person off. I'm an American. Wow. Oh, okay. But are you not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ before you're an American? And this is the kingdom that we serve? This is the kingdom that we walk in? Is the kingdom of light and love? We've never been slaves to anyone, they said. So Jesus goes on, he says, well, you know, the bottom line is that everyone who sins in general is a slave to sin, but even anyone who sins in this particular area, maybe you're doing these other areas really well, but in this particular area, man, it's got a stronghold on you. It is holding you down. Yo, you're saved, no doubt, but you are a slave to that. For me, it was anger. For years, it was anger. I wasn't an angry person. That's how I convinced myself I was okay. Or, well, you know, my mom was always really angry, so it's just in my genes. Wow, that was a dumb one. blame my mom? Seriously. But that's how pathetic it gets, right? We're not slaves to anyone, is what they say. Well, that's exactly what I was saying. But I was a slave to that. And on that day when God gripped me and said, hey, listen, here's what the word says, is that the angry will not inherit the kingdom of God. You better take note here, buddy, that I began the long process of letting God begin to strip me of that. It didn't happen just like that. It did not. I know there are some people that addictions and foibles and all these things, man, they pray to God and it's just gone. And that's fantastic. And it does happen. It didn't happen for me. It was a good 15 to 20 years of God continually saying to me, being patient with me again and again, hey, guess what? You just had an outburst of anger. Oh, I'd even feel him coming. Getting angry. Don't do it. Stop. I don't care. I'm doing it. I was a slave to that. What is wrong? Was I born again? Absolutely 100%. Born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But man, that area had a grip on me. And I allowed God then for the next 15 or 20 years to begin to peel the layers back on that area. Peel the layers back on that area and deal with this and deal with that. And again and again and again and again. And patiently and gently and never condemningly say to me, hey, let's work on that one again. let's do that one again. And I'm sure if you ask my wife of 29 years of marriage and potentially even my children, and there are still moments where they're like, oh, here goes Dad. But hopefully they're willing to say it is massively different and it is few and far between. And there are plenty of times where we'd be like, oh, he's going to get really angry about this, and he doesn't. Hopefully they would say that. I'm not going to put you guys on the spot, so you're good. But if the Son, capital S, sets you free, then you are truly free. Don't raise your hands. This is not confession. I'm not your priest. I am not the Pope. But is there anybody in right here right now between you and God and the move of the Holy Spirit that's willing to say, yeah, I've got this area, this one, that I am a slave to it, and it's not good. I don't like it. There's moments where I like it because I get off a little bit. But man, when it's over, I'm like, oh my goodness, why did I do that? Why did I think that? Why did I say that? Is there anybody? Again, don't raise your hands. I don't need your confession. I don't want you to, whatever. Because you might look at this verse 36. If the Son has set you free, then you are truly free, and you're saying, well, that's not true. I mean, I'm free in a salvation sense. I believe I'm going to heaven. But man, there's this area or two or three areas that I am a slave. Is it fear? Are you afraid of something? Is there anxiety in your life? Are you anxious about something? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Have you held a grudge? Is there unforgiveness so far back that you don't even really think about it anymore? But when it pops up, you're like, oh yeah, yep, not forgiving that. I'm holding that grudge. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And Jesus has set you free and will continue to set you free every time you bring it back to him and say, I need, and hopefully you'll see that window shutting, that bondage decreasing, because you are becoming more and more attuned, more and more awake to it. You are not like these Israelites who are saying, Paul, slaves? We've never been slaves. That's ridiculous. Hopefully you're past that. And you're headed in a good direction. You're headed in the right direction. You see, because there's a spiritual union that is taking place between you and the Son. You are abiding in Him. He is abiding in you. Again, this is a supernatural thing. It's not a, I'm just going to muster it all up. We're going to do this here. I'm going to do it this time. There's a supernatural transformation that is taking place at the core of your being. And so then your doing is changing. Christ is being formed in you. The Father is transforming you into the image of the Son. You know in Romans where it says, and God works all things to the good of those who love Him. That's a pretty standard Christian verse that we like to quote. It's in Romans 8. If it's not recognizable to you, that's fine. It's in Romans 8. All things. God is working all things to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, we could put a big whiteboard up here and begin to name off all the good things that God is doing. We could take all morning. We could let second service in and they could join right in and just start listing more stuff on. But here is the goodest. Is that a word? Ms. Dr. Woolerton, is that a word? The goodest. But here is the goodest good. He is working all things to your good. Here is the goodest good that ever was goody, goodness of good. Is that you are being transformed into the image of His Son. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a supernatural happening at the core of your being. Does it take some mind over matter and some choices to be made? And yet, yes, of course. But this is not some freelance religion where, you know, today we're going to offer this incense and tomorrow we're going to do this thing. I'm not here to mock. I'm just saying that is not what it's about. It is about getting into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything rises and falls with Him, ladies and gentlemen. I'm begging that becomes a reality. If it's not a reality, or it's a reality mostly, but not in this particular area, it is a reality. It is the reality. It is what really matters. It is the truth, and the truth that you know sets you free. Are you participating in the reality of this truth? What is hindering potentially your spiritual freedom, your spiritual advancement? Is it pride? Is it an addiction? Is it judgmentalism? Is it unforgiveness? Is it the demanding of my own way? I have my rights. You will never take advantage of me. Is it lust? Is it anger? I probably demand too. I need to be in control. That's a big one for me. Worry, anxiety, fear. Is it religious arrogance? Is it apathy? He goes on then and he says in this, the Son will set you free, and I know that you're descendants of Abraham, but he says, you're trying to kill me. Now these people, literally here in this John 8, in this writing by John, they're literally going to try to kill him. By the end of this chapter, they're going to pick up stones, they're going to stone him, try to stone him. But isn't it interesting in verse 37, if you still have your Bibles open or your phone or whatever, you look at, isn't it interesting, it says, and this is how the New Living words it says it this way, it says, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there is no room in your heart for my message. What is he wanting us to believe? What is he saying? This is the truth. I am the light. I am this. He keeps saying, I am. And he's going to get down to the end of this chapter and he's going to say, listen, if you will believe this and you will follow this light and you will do these teachings and it will transform you and everything, then you're not ever going to die. You're going to live forever. We get down to the very end, verse 58, and he says, before Abraham was even born, I am. Ladies and gentlemen, we can debate all day long I suppose, about what Jesus particularly meant. You know, I've had people argue with, well, you know, when they, in your Bible, when it says I am and they put it a capital A there, you know, that's a mistranslation. Yeah, because he's not really God. That's a mistranslation. Why did they pick up stones? Because he blasphemed. That is exactly what he claimed. I am God. This is the truth. This is what you must stand on. I'm not just another human that's coming along the way that's going to say some nice things and whatever, whatever. I am God. That is the truth that's going to transform you. That is why I am the light. That is why I am the bread of heaven. That is why I am the way. Because it's me. Hello. It's God. Hi. It's me in a human form. Isn't it funny then when they say, you know, back up in here, verse 41, we are not illegitimate children, they hollered at him. God himself is our true father. Who are they talking to? They're talking to God. They're telling God that he is their real father, but they're talking to him and, do you see the craziness? But is that not what sin does to us? When we find ourselves trapped in that, when we're choosing maybe in this particular area to not walk in the light, in the way, obeying the teachings of Jesus, are we not crazy like this and saying crazy things? And don't go too wild on me here. And maybe picking up a stone and going, oh, who do you think you are? Oh, geez, Jason, don't you say that about me. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I follow God. Well, I don't deny that. But man, in these areas, whatever you picked off that list, in that area, you are a slave to, and there is not freedom in your life in that area. Why can't you understand me? Verses 42 and 43. If God were your father, you would love me. Why can't you understand me? Because you can't hear me. And so he goes down through this big, long description of the enemy. Please do not ever take the enemy lightly. Don't overdo it. Oh, we shake and quake in our boots at the enemy. Satan, he does all these really bad things, and look at the world around us, and we're going to live in a gated community of a gated community of a gated community because, you know, this world is a terrible place. And we can't be like that. But at the same time, do not underestimate the enemy. He is crafty. He is evil. He is very good at what he does. But, ladies and gentlemen, he is a liar. Everything that he says is a lie. So anything that you and I grab a hold of, anything that we lean into that is contrary to the truth, we are siding with the enemy. Well, Jason, you don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what you did to me and my family. And you know, God's just going to have to understand. I'm really angry at that person. Okay. All right, let's relax a little bit. But would you please admit that that's not the right way to go? Would you please admit that you are siding with that he is lying to you right now? And that God is telling you the truth? This can be done. You can walk in freedom. All right, I got to get through my free. I got all these notes. Look at all these notes. Natalie said to me, are you ready? I said, the problem is I had way too long to prep for this thing, so I got notes upon notes upon notes, and that's just then I overanalyze and I overthink, but I got to get through F-R-E-E. So, and the second service people are already peering through the window. Did you know... I lost track of my notes. Did you know that in the Revolutionary War, the Battle of Yorktown, Cornwallis surrendered 7,000 British troops to General Washington and his army. The Battle of Yorktown. The end. The Americans have defeated the superpower of the world. Did you know that there were 42 more battles fought after the Battle of Yorktown? And the Battle of Yorktown was done in October of 1781. And the final battle over, let's sign a peace treaty, did not take place until December of 1782, a year and 2 months after the Battle of Yorktown. 42 more battles took place. Number one in your notes, the F for F-R-E-E, is, ladies and gentlemen, we got to fight. We got to fight on our knees. Yes, the war is won. When Jesus Christ raised up out of that grave, it's over. The war is won. We through him and in him are victorious. We have the victory because of what Jesus did. Broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 days later, raised up out of the grave by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. But how many of you know that every day we battle? The war's won. We are victorious. But every day there are battles. Not for us to fight on our own. Not for us to draw our sword and go charging out into the fray like this and then turn around and realize that Jesus is way back over there going, "Hey, dude, come here. Come here. Come here, please. You are not listening to me at all." We are to fight on our knees, opening the Word of God, speaking and praying the Word of God. Oh my goodness, go into the letters of Paul, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. He prays over those cities. Take those prayers. He prays over those people. Take those prayers and pray them over yourself. Pray them over the people. Pray them over your family. There is a kingdom of light, and there is a kingdom of darkness. If you will follow me, I am the light. If you will follow me, then you don't have to walk in darkness. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That means there's still darkness. The option is there. But we don't have to walk in that darkness. We don't have to be pushed around by that darkness. We don't have to give into that darkness. Those are the lies of the enemy. This is the truth of the Word of God, the knowledge of Him, and this truth sets us free. It brings us out of chaos and into peace. It brings us out of unforgiveness and revenge into forgiveness. It makes it so that we don't walk away from people, but we help people. It drives us to not tear people down, but to encourage people. It helps us to not be people who don't care, but people who are sympathetic. It leads us out of division and into unity. It helps us to crush pride and walk before the Lord humbly. It helps to destroy fear by giving us courage. And the list goes on and on and on. Why do I do this? Why do I trust this? Why do I believe this? Because I realize that this life, this eternal life, the way, is not accomplished by anything that I've done. Nothing that I've merited. God doesn't owe me anything. Eternal life, ultimate victory, life in the moment is only accomplished through Jesus Christ. That is it. And so we get to the R then. Is this recognition that Jesus rescued me. I've been saved. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's on Christ, the solid rock, that I stand. He has rescued me. I am saved. I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has revolutionized and transformed my life. But I also know that in any given moment during the day, he needs to rescue me again because I do dumb. Because I do dumb. Don't get out of your car, Jason. Don't get out of your car, Jason. Don't get out of your car, Jason. Don't. Oh, here I am, out of my car. Wow, how does this happen? Because you're dumb. Stop honking your horn at that person. Stop honking your horn at that person. Stop. Your hand is still on the horn, honking a long honk. Stop. And then when that person gets out of their car, why do you say to them, well, you were honking your horn, I just thought it was honk your horn day. Why do words like that come out of my mouth? Why does Hal let me be up in this pulpit? But Jesus rescues me daily. And this is where he says to them, in this passage, where he says to them, is there room in your heart for my message? He says to these people that he's talking to, he says, listen, you're trying to kill me because there is no room in your heart for my message. And so what you and I need to say is, all right, Lord, whew, I really want to honk my heart. I really want to get out. I want to do it. What part of your message am I not practicing? Am I not grabbing a hold of right now? Am I not trusting you in? Because that's where the freedom is. So I admit that I need to be rescued. That when I do this sin or repeatedly or whatever, I'm a slave to that and I need this bondage released. I need to join with Christ. I need to fight that lie with the truth of the Word of God, with who Jesus says that he is. And so these bondages, this rescuing is happening because of E. Because I am eliminating my ego. I am eliminating my ego. Why am I so unwilling to surrender when this is the truth and the truth sets me free? Why am I so unwilling to yield? Why do I continue in rebellion potentially in this particular area? God, I need help. I need you. I need this power, this supernatural power, Jesus, that raised you from the dead. It's in me. It's alive. I have life. I can walk in the light. I don't have to be pushed around by this darkness. I don't have to be manipulated by this. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And I can fight that lie with the truth, and the truth that I know is what sets me free. And I'm eliminating this need to be in control. I'm eliminating this selfish ambition. I'm going to surrender, God, with your help. I'm going to yield to you. I'm going to humble myself, God, under your mighty hand. And with your power, God, I'm going to do it again and again and again and again. I'm going to experience this. Not as a mind over matter, but because there's something supernaturally taking place inside of me. So the last one, the second E, F-R-E-E, is emancipation proclamation. Are you proclaiming daily in the face of the enemy, you're not getting me today, Satan, I'm free. I will not be a slave. I have been emancipated. The Son has set me free. It's not anything I've done. I haven't mustered up the whatever to do that. It's because God is transforming me. He has freed me. Isn't it interesting that the Israelites, in that little passage there where he says something about slavery, and they're like, we've never been slaves to anyone, which is absurd and ridiculous. But isn't it really interesting that when they did get out of Egypt after being there for 400 years, they didn't get very far out, and where did they want to go? Right back into Egypt. Slavery's tough. And let me tell you right now, the enemy does not let go easy. The enemy does not let go easy. He will fight, which is F for us. He will fight like crazy to keep us sucked in, to keep our families sucked in to the lies that he tells instead of fighting those lies with the truth. Here's what I'm going to do. There's a confession at the bottom of your paper. I'm going to read it. It's going to come up here on the screen. It's at the bottom of your paper. I'm going to read it. I just want you to look at it as I read it. And then what we're going to do is we're going to stand, and the altar team's going to come, and we're going to read it together as a congregation, which means you'll probably have to leave the lights on. It's kind of hard to read in the dark. But when that's done reading and I pray us out, I will invite those that need to come into the altar to pray. So you have that? Are you looking at it? Let me just read it out loud to you in the moment. Here is the confession. I declare that there is no force strong enough to resist God's power in my life. No sickness, no financial turmoil, no relational problems, no addictions, absolutely nothing has enough power to resist the supernatural power of Jesus Christ that resides in me. When I open my mouth and by faith speak God's word, every power that attempts to defy his word is pushed back and flees. When my mouth gets into agreement with God's word, I see power unleashed against the forces that try to come against me and my family. I speak freedom and life over me and my family. Would you stand? I would like to read this together in unison as one. As we get down close to the end of reading this, the altar team, if you guys would go ahead and come up. And as soon as we're done reading it, and I will pray, then you can go ahead and turn the lights down. When we're done reading, when I'm done praying, if you're not going to come into the altar, if you would leave quietly, do your gallivanting in the lobby, that would be fantastic. Let's read this together. I declare that there is no force strong enough to resist God's power in my life. No sickness, financial turmoil, relational problems, addictions, absolutely nothing has enough power to resist the supernatural power of Jesus Christ that resides in me. When I open my mouth and by faith speak God's word, every power that attempts to defy his word is pushed back and flees. When my mouth gets into agreement with God's word, I see power unleashed against the forces that try to come against me and my family. I speak freedom and life over me and my family. Altar team, if you would come forward, please. I would encourage you that if you need prayer, if you have something in your life, first off, you're not saved. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, please come down. And they'll walk that through with you. But if you say, no, you know what? I am saved. I have accepted Christ. I do believe that he is the truth. I want to fight these lies of the enemy with this truth. But I need some help. I need some prayer over this or that or whatever, or just in general. Please come and get prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your power. Your power that raised Christ from the dead. That same power now resides in me, resides in us. That is the truth. And the truth that we know, the truth that we experience, the truth that has been divinely revealed to us empowers us to freedom. I pray that we would walk in that freedom. That we would put you first, the advancing of your kingdom first. We would get rid of ourselves and our ego and our wants and our selfish ambitions. We'd humble ourselves before you and see the power of God at work in our lives, transforming not only our lives, but the lives of the people around us. In your precious name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. If you would head to the lobby to talk. That would be fantastic. If you need prayer, please come into the altar.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way, the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to The Empowered Word.